listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Well, it's a very interesting couple of days in our nation's capital, and we are very honored to kind of be on the inside track of it. Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you. The State Department, in the second year in a row, is advancing an opportunity called a ministerial. I'll tell you what it means and why it matters, and talk to some of the people involved. Stay with us.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, today in our nation's capital, there are about 1,000 foreign ministers, religious leaders, and other various folks from about 115 countries meeting today for the second time in as many years concerning an idea that's called a ministerial to advance religious freedom. This has been something that, of course, President Trump talked about in the campaign, and he has talked some about it since being in office. But it really is one of the higher priorities of the administration. And one of the archbishops involved, Archbishop Timothy Broglio of the Military Services, who chairs the U.S. Bishops Committee on International Justice and Peace, said 77% of the world's population, 5.5 billion, live in 83 countries with what are considered high or very high restrictions on the practice of religion. He says, I'm pleased to participate in this year's ministerial and support our government's effort to promote freedom of conscience and religion for all. We are kind of in a unique spot here at Kevin McCullough Radio to have been invited to be behind the scenes as this year's ministerial kicked off. Many of you know of my close association and work with the Christian Solidarity International and what we have done with them. In fact, friends, I have to brag on you big time. Over just the last few days, you have helped supply freedom for about 100 plus. I'm going to have exact numbers soon for you, but 100 plus very persecuted Christians that have been actually living in human slavery. The point of that I wish to bring about is that Dr. John Eibner, who doesn't spend a lot of time on U.S. soil, actually convened a private off-the-record event last night in Washington, D.C. I drove down and drove back just for that event. But it was a really quite unique behind-the-scenes kind of effort from, I would say, more than probably two dozen heads of different organizations, from the Alliance Defending Freedom to CSI to a whole bunch of others, that came together to talk about what genuine religious freedom looks like and how we begin to advance it across the globe. Well, as a result of me being there and meeting some of the folks involved, I was quite taken with some of their stories. And so I'm going to let you meet a couple of people kind of up close and personal over the next couple of days. And the first conversation I want to bring to you is from a man that works with the Armenian Evangelical Churches in Syria. This is the guy that is kind of overseeing all of the evangelical churches as Armenian Christians are relocating back to where their homes were prior to the war. He himself is based out of Aleppo and ministers to people that are in that extremely crushed town. But we got to pull off to the side before last night's off-the-record event, and I got to chat with Pastor Harut Silumin, is I believe how you say his name. And again, he's the head of the evangelical churches in Armenia. Take a listen.
So, Kevin McCullough, we are in Washington, D.C. at a very unique evening. Tonight will be an off-the-record kind of sharing heart-to-heart from many world organizational groups that are focusing on the persecution of Christians around the globe. And I have the opportunity to be here just ahead of that discussion to have a couple of on-the-record interviews with some of the people that are participating. And with me right now is Pastor Harut Silimian. I knew I was going to mess it up, Pastor. It's a hard to pronounce name. Where do you come from, and what is the primary focus of what you're involved in?
Thank you, Kevin, for this opportunity. I come from Syria, and I'm from Armenian origin, and my name tells. Harutyun means resurrection. It's a Christian name, and of course, everybody knows about Syria nowadays, mm-hmm. especially for the last 8 years, 7 years and a half, that we are really into a turmoil, and that war, which has also pushed people outside of Syria, more than 50% of the population of Syria, and more than 3 million of children today, they are in the streets and out of schooling system. And we see how people are frustrated, and so many people are devastated from this very brutal war. Now, the war zone and the war situation is also adding on us much more suffering than what we have suffered under the missiles attacks. And when we say persecution and the persecution of the churches or Christians, it is a multifaceted issue.
Yeah.
We cannot just define it by one single definition.
There's an array of ways that persecution is being
carried
out.
Exactly.
Let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of slow down to go fast. What is the context of the Christian church in Syria? How broad is it? How many denominations are there? What is the kind of full flavor of the Christian expression in Syria right now?
Yeah, actually, when we're talking about the church or Christianity in Syria, we all know that we're speaking about the first century. We're speaking about St. Paul's as he was persecuting the Christians in Damascus, and that straight road which we read in the Bible, it's mm-hmm. there in Damascus. And I always believed that as far as the first church persevered persecution, there is always hope for us to persevere this type of a persecution that we are living. And today, the Christian entity counts more than 11-12 denominations between Orthodox, Catholics, and Protestant evangelicals. And we are very much in harmony. Together, we are trying to keep the identity, the Christian identity, and to have the Christian testimony in Syria. It used to be for centuries, and nowadays also it's very much vital, and it is at stake.
That makes so much sense, and in some ways, I wish the West were more able to work together in that way, but war and persecution do tend to bring unity about,
yes.
as opposed to denominational factions.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what persecution was like prior to the war, and then let's get into some of the geopolitical things that have influenced it, from Assad to ISIS to the civil war to the foreign involvements. We'll kind of go through all those. But before any of that got started, what was life like for the church in Syria?
Honestly speaking, even before the war, churches were freely, they were practicing their Christian faith, and all the institutions that they have linked to the churches, like the schools that today churches and denominations, they are running day schools. Mm-hmm. Like our church, we have 6 schools, 12 of them, it's for secondary. Therefore, the accommodation number of our students in our schools exceeds 2,500 students. So this we have
done
it.
Is that the only education available to those kids in that area, or are there public schools?
No, there are public schools,
okay.
But people usually they prefer going to private schools, church affiliated schools, because of the quality of the
right.
education, and also the Christian type of norms and values that people they look for it, you know?
Isn't that interesting? They look for, even in Muslim-dominant countries, Christian education because, as Pastor Harut was just saying, of the Christian values. Friends, I was very humbled and honored to be invited to this think tank last night. And we have more from Pastor Harut Siliman, who is head of the Evangelical Churches in Syria, when we come back.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ever look at your paycheck and think, there's got to be a better way? Well, here's some news. There is, and I can show it to you. I'm Paula Sagan, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My brother and I have taught thousands of people how to start making money in real estate. Now, it's your turn. This week, we're conducting a free two-hour educational workshop right here in New York and New Jersey, where you'll hear about my proven flipping systems that help you start flipping homes for profit in your spare time using other people's money, and how to get started flipping the script by putting money in your pocket with income opportunities. Real estate is a powerful tool that has made millions of people wealthy, but you can't start making your first dollar until you take your first step. Come to my free workshop and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. It can mean a lifetime of financial security.
To get two free tickets to Paul's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 37,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 37,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Paul's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 37,000.
Hey folks, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. Tradeway has been helping thousands of Christian families take control of their finances and, more importantly, their time. We offer you a powerful education in how to trade in the stock market, providing you the skill sets you need to manage your financial manager or even cut out the middleman entirely and do it yourself. The Tradeway community is unlike anything I've ever seen in my business career or even in my ministries. With Tradeway, you not only get a powerful system for trading as a business, but you get the kind of hands-on support, ongoing development, and personal community that is required to propel you forward in this journey, and we help you to do that one step at a time.
Join us at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square, August 2nd and 3rd. Only $99.95 for your entire household, plus a free ticket for a friend and a full money-back guarantee. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-TRADE, or go to tradeway.com. That's tradeway.com.
Gregory Floyd, host of Reaching Out, gets answers to the tough questions from people in the know.
With us, we have our very special guest, Queensborough President Melinda Katz. She is running for District Attorney of Queens. What are some of your goals after you become District Attorney of Queens?
We have a whole nationwide reform movement going on for the criminal justice system, but Queens has truly gotten left behind. I'm a true believer that you can have justice for victims, but you also need justice for defendants. You need a system in place where there's no cash bail. There are people that commit crimes of $1 million worthy of bail, and they're home that night for dinner. But if you're accused of doing a low-level crime, a lot of times you can't afford the bail. So we need to make sure that we'll make it a fairer and equitable system.
It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday afternoons at 4:30 on AM 570 The Mission, WMCA.
If you have an unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-500-5588. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. Community Tax. Who's your tax guy?
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, you may not see a lot of it on the front page of the paper, but it is newsworthy. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Ambassador Sam Brownback, Vice President Mike Pence, all involved in a two-day ministerial that's going on at the State Department today and tomorrow, highlighting the plight of Christians globally and why there are 1,000-plus people representing hundreds, if not thousands, of organizations that are concerned about the persecution of religious minorities and of Christians globally is really something that we should applaud the administration for. This is something that even in past administrations that have said that they are concerned about it, they've not really done much. For the second year in a row, this ministerial gathering is taking place. And last night, I was very honored to be the guest of Dr. John Eibner and Christian Solidarity International as they brought together some of these voices from around the world that are living in the midst of what this persecution looks like. And my guest that I was very honored to sit down with in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital just last night, is Harut Suleiman. And in his work, he is heading up the work to reestablish the churches of Aleppo, the churches of Syria, across denominational boundaries, but trying to help Christians return to their home and trying to help the world understand that when Christianity vacates a neighborhood, particularly in the Middle East, that it is not good. One of the things that we were talking about is education and why even the Muslim families in the region long for the Christian schools to be vibrant.
I mean, surprisingly, many Muslims, they prefer to send their kids to Christian schools rather than to Muslim schools.
Why do you think that is?
Because for them, it is something which they feel like they find equality in our system. They find the respect towards the human dignity, which they lack in their Islamic milieu. They lack in their Islamic relationships, you know.
Well, there's a debate in America that schools in the mosques here don't really serve to provide education as much as they do indoctrination. And I'm wondering if maybe the population there was saying, well, particularly for daughters, for example, if I send them to the Christian school, she'll learn how to do math and read and the, you know, those types of things where she may not have been given the same opportunities in the Muslim schools. Is that applicable?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true because in Islamic schools, as the churches have schools, also the Islamic entities and ideological groups, they have their schooling system. And the government, the Syrian government, always they kept an eye over these. But unfortunately, under table, they have started doing some sort of fanatic Islamic teachings to the kids. On the contrary, in the Christian school, it is all safe. And Christians have no political agenda in Syria. They believe that they are there to testify to the love of God, to the love of Christ, and they live what they believe in as much as possible. And they try to also affect and influence the surrounding, the society at large.
So what began to happen that began to deteriorate the nation so that the groups that were at odds with Assad began to break out and he decided to respond? And were Christians kind of caught in the crossfire? Were they part of the insurrection? Did they take sides? What was the relationship between Christians and Assad, and then how did it begin to break down?
It never break down.
Okay.
Christians in Syria, they remain loyal to the legitimate government. Our belief and our understanding of being a citizen in Syria is to be loyal to the governments, and this is biblical. Mm-hmm. You know, when the legitimate government changes, Christians will remain with the newly appointed or elected legitimate government. Therefore, we are not talking here as in the West people talk, Christians are with Assad or against Assad. We are not with any single person. We are there because we believe that this is our home, this is our country, and we are not going to leave our country because we love it, you know.
So when the separatist groups began to fight Assad, then the Christians were kind of caught in the middle. Because obviously if they have people in their communities that are part of the separatist groups, then that puts them at risk of displeasing them.
Yes.
But Assad doesn't like the separatist groups, so they're they're kind of...
Exactly.
So what did life become like for Christians at that point?
Well, for Christians that they were in the jurisdiction of the government, they continued their ministry and their practicing of their Christian faith freely. We used to have, and we have it nowadays. And many people in the West, they get surprised when they hear this. Mm-hmm. They feel like we are trying to fabricate a story, mm-hmm. which is not true. Still, I'm not mentioning so many benefits that Christians and Christian churches have in Syria. I mean, if you for interest, I can mention a dozen of them. But in the same time, when Christian churches that they remained under the ISIS territory, Jabhat al-Nusra and other Islamic extremists and fanatics, they were driven out, they were killed, they were slaughtered, and their churches, it was burned, like it happened to Armenians in Kesap. Kesap, it's a territory, it's an Armenian villages on the border of Turkey, on the northern part of Syria. 3 years before, some militant groups, fanatics from Turkey, they penetrated into Kesap area, and they have driven out all our Kesapsis, our Armenian Christian people, out of their villages. Mm. They burned our churches, they burned our schools and the homes, and for 3-4 months they remained there. After 3 months, when the Syrian army again freed that part, we returned, and we have seen everything was destroyed and burned. Mm-hmm. It took us 3 years to renovate them and rehabilitate all the system there, like schools and cultural centers, our Sunday school buildings and our musical conservatory, the sanctuaries.
You get the picture. It was quite a rebuilding task. Kevin McCullough on location in Washington, D.C., the start of a 2-day ministerial at the State Department, talking about the plight of Christians and religious minorities, but mostly Christians, globally, and why they are under persecution. We continue. Stay with us.
What if I told you that getting omega-3 fatty acids daily just got easier? Amanda Williams here from Invite Health to tell you about the Invite Health Krill Oil. Krill Oil provides your body with the essential oils and antioxidants that are important for brain, heart, joint, and eye health. The EPA and DHA omega-3 fatty acids from Invite's Krill Oil are sustainable and 100% traceable from the sea to the capsule. Invite Health's Krill Oil is supplied in a vegetarian tapioca capsule, shown in clinical trials to enhance absorption. These easy-to-swallow capsules are extremely clean and won't leave you with that fishy aftertaste. Take advantage of this special offer from Invite Health. Buy one bottle of Invite's Krill Oil at suggested retail risk-free and get the second bottle free. Call now for free shipping. Contact Invite at 800-459-2272. Call 800-459-2272. That's 800-459-2272. You can also visit an Invite Health location or go to invitehealth.com. Invite Health, the luxury brand of vitamins.
This is the entertainment answer. Disney's live-action Lion King looks to reign over the box office as we see another of these remakes hit the big screen. Now, it isn't the last one, but might be the most anticipated, and it does look fantastic, and diehard fans need to make sure they catch this on IMAX, or at least the biggest screen in their area. Now, for those still asking, why do we need these, there are still some other solid original choices at your Cineplex. Lion King rated PG and destined to top the box office this week, and several more to come. For this entertainment answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-892-2307 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-892-2307 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-892-2307 now and start learning to trade the right way. Call 855-892-2307. 2307, prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-458-7270. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. 1-800-458-7270. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-458-7270. 1-800-458-7270.
This segment brought to you by MyPillow. Get a two-pack of MyPillow premiums for only $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. Only available at MyPillow.com. Call 800-651-0798. Promo code WMCA.
Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us, Kevin McCullough. Very short night for me. I had to drive down to Washington, D.C.'s area last night following my on-air time and then attended a very deep honor to be invited, but it was a very off-the-record gathering of some 20 different organizations that just focus on Christian persecution. And the purpose of that gathering is they are part of a 1,000 group people that are taking part in a two-day ministerial conference at the State Department in which the discussions about how to deal with Christian persecution globally is the only thing on the agenda. And because geopolitics and Christian persecution are very tricky. They intersect in ways at times that seem to make sense, and then they work against each other at times that seem to counterbalance at least some of the principles on either side. So it got into a rather descriptive and sometimes even mildly heated discussion last night. But the interesting thing about all of that is that the groups that were there came away with at least three action points that we will ask the State Department to consider upon the end of this ministerial conference, and some of them very practical. So I'm hopeful that it's the first step in a much better direction. But last night, before that off-the-record meeting, I had the chance to sit down with Pastor Harut Selimian, who is the head of the evangelical churches in Syria. There's about 12 different denominations that make those up. He personally bases out of Aleppo, which if you followed any of the news, you know that it is just destroyed. And he sees a real purpose in being there. But I have talked to him about different things. I wanted to move to the next layer of the history.
Oh, we looked at what it was like before the war. The war kind of devastated everything, and yeah. ISIS was just free to plunder and destroy.
Yeah.
Then the kind of global forces began to get involved. So yeah. You had the U.S. propping up the separatists, and you had Russia come to Assad's aid. Mm-hmm. How did the international involvement complicate the equation?
Yeah, I believe Europe stepped back for a couple of years, and they have created the vacuum in the political arena. Why I'm talking about Europe? Because, I mean, geographically speaking, they were the closest, mm-hmm. Globe to the Middle East, to Syria. And Russia jumped in, and they have also found themselves like they are at risk because of the ISIS in Syria. For their national security, they came in because in the Mediterranean,
so Russia's thought is fight ISIS in Syria, don't fight them in Russia.
Exactly. I mean that's very clear. Also, Russia had a base in Syria, military yeah. base. They wanted to protect that, to keep that, you know, again for their national security sake. We have seen that U.S. they wanted to play a role in that dilemma, but they couldn't find the right place to penetrate into. They have chosen to start from the northern part of Syria, where the oil wells are there, and ISIS already they were trying to get benefit of it. You know,
well, ISIS was making a lot of money off that.
Oh, lots of money.
I mean, they were more well-funded than most of the major corporations in America while they had control of your
yeah,
oil.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Fields.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and then you add to that the human trafficking and, just the theft and other things. I mean, they had established a huge organization, one of the largest, if you're looking at it from, like, organized crime perspectives, one of the largest in history.
Exactly. And all these big forces,
yeah.
they have considered Syria as a pie, and they wanted to get their share from it. And honestly speaking, very few people thought about the Syrian civilians inside of Syria
right.
who are suffering from the turmoil of the war.
When the two chemical attacks were unleashed, how did the Christians in Syria, first of all, how were they impacted? Were they among the victims? And secondly, how did they respond if they weren't? Like, what was the, because I think we know of two times when chemical weapons were thought to be used.
Yes. The Christian Syrians, they consider themselves equal to the Muslim Syrians. We don't consider ourselves
right.
like a premier.
But the Christians weren't ones that were targeted in those attacks, were they?
Well, not only Christians. I mean, Christians were also there.
Okay.
The Syrian people were targeted.
So it was the specific geography that was targeted specifically.
Yes. I mean, the two places.
All right. So when we continue with Pastor Harut Selamian, we will talk about the next layer of that history as well and what we can do now. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
Names matter. Your name. The name you've made for yourself and the name of the company you represent. Because of you, they're names people can trust. That's why at 4imprint, every name and logo is printed with certainty. We pay attention to every detail. Because we know the way your name appears is the way it's remembered. So you'll know for certain that every item, from the right apparel to the most popular tech items, will be right the first time, on time, every time, at a great price, guaranteed. Because when you have passion, integrity, and certainty, the only name they'll remember is yours. Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Baseball season is in full swing. It's a good thing Matt secured his denture with Super PolyGrip. Now he can enjoy the snacks as much as the game.
PolyGrip.
Hey, how are you? So great to see you.
It's that time of year when the family meets up.
Get together, guys. Family photo.
It's a good thing Jack cleans his denture with Polident so he can enjoy the whole day with confidence.
Polident.
This is Dennis Prager inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour, a tour of the key sites and places to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've likely only read or heard about. Come home inspired by the experience. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. We'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
For more information and to register for this trip, go to am570themission.com. When you need legal assistance, call Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. They'll show you care and compassion. 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I say is it oh, oh, oh. Always on my road, oh, oh, I'm still New York.
Yeah, if it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Everyone here who has committed a part of their life to helping those who are persecuted and to defending the unalienable right to practice one's religion and follow their conscience and to take care of their soul.
That was Secretary of State Pompeo at the opening of the ministerial this morning. From Washington, D.C. last night, I had a very interesting bird's eye view of what's going to take place over the next couple of days. Because some of the most concerned leadership about Christian persecution on planet Earth came together in a place that shall remain nameless, but it was a meeting place in the nation's capital. And the whole purpose of the people that were there, the whole reason that we were there, was to simply strategize and to try to talk about some things that should be communicated to the government. And maybe that we need to do a better job of communicating to the American people in the days to come as it relates to persecution and to persecution of Christians and religious minorities as a whole. One of the things I kept saying in the duration of the meetings last night was that with the president that we currently have, what he campaigned on and what he's done since he's been in office. We have a very limited window of time. He may be the only president I can remember in my lifetime, so I consider that the modern era, Nixon forward, where the administration and the candidate have actually spent time focusing on the issue of Christian persecution. And you'll remember his speech to the Saudis. You'll remember his discussions with countries throughout the Middle East and kind of the requirement that they were going to begin to pay their own way in terms of fighting terrorism, but that they had to make as a cornerstone of their governing systems a commitment to protecting those who genuinely believed in Jesus Christ. It's a pretty interesting concept that the president would be that aggressive. And it's necessary, as you'll see in this next bit of the conversation with Pastor Harut Selemian. Now, let me just quickly say there's no way that we had time today to air all of the conversation. So what we'll do is we'll try to put this discussion uncut on the features section of the podcast page. But I do want you to hear why this is so important.
Well, people don't understand that ISIS killed far more Muslims than they
did. Oh, yeah.
Other people.
More than Christians.
Let's deal with the reality now. So ISIS is gone.
No, still they are there.
But they don't hold the large chunks of territory.
Yes, but they exist.
And we took at least the strongholds have been taken. They're not holding any full cities anymore.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the day-to-day challenge now? As you guys are wanting to rebuild Aleppo, are there ISIS groups that are trying to keep you from it, or are they just sitting on the sidelines agitating? What's the
actually ISIS groups or Jabhat al-Nusra or Ahrar al-Sham? These are different names of the same group,
right?
And they are still existing in the surrounding outskirts of Aleppo. For instance, if you are following the news, you will see yesterday and the day before yesterday, Aleppo was attacked by six big missiles, and so many dozens of people were killed, and dozens.
Where'd they come from?
It's coming from Rashdin. Rashdin is 10 minutes drive from Aleppo. Still, Jabhat al-Nusra, they have their base there, and it is a group, militant, extremist group backed by Turkish army. Because that road takes you all the way to the northern part of Syria, and it links to Turkey. So Turkey is pushing those people.
What's the condition of the Syrian military to be able to surround Rashdin and put that down?
Actually, many times we as insiders from Aleppo, we have asked the Syrian army, even the Russians that they are around, why are you not wiping this place? I mean, why are you not pushing them? They said, we have no political decision yet in doing so. Hmm. So who understands what does that mean? I mean, everybody else is making deals, political deals with each other. You know, sometimes they are keeping some groups existing in order to play their political cards in one of the meetings, international forums, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, the people of Syria is paying the price, big price.
Let's boil this down to some practicality.
Yeah.
It's 2019, halfway through the year. What can the global community and the church community around the world, how can we best impact the future for Christians and for non-radical Muslims and other religious minorities that are in Syria? What role can we play?
Actually, my belief is that everybody should have pressures on their governments in order to stop the war. If the war continues and the bloodshed continues, there is no any other scenario, a safe exit out of this place. Therefore, we are not only looking for political solutions, partial solutions, we are calling upon governments and upon the U.S. to stop the war in Syria, to stop the bloodshed, no matter what. Because now this is the eighth year and hundreds of thousands of people being massacred and died.
And millions more have left.
And more than 10 million left Syria.
Right.
And I told you in the beginning, 3 million children now.
Right.
They are outside of schooling system. They are under tents. They are in streets.
And those are candidates for radicalization.
Exactly. I mean, what you're expecting from a country in the future? You're talking about future.
Yeah.
What a bright future a country or a nation can have.
Why have you decided to stay? And why is your church active? And what are you doing personally? What's your goal there?
Our goal is to give hope to the people that they willingly are staying in Syria because for so many Christians, no matter what, Syria is their home. Syria is a Christian land. It's a Bible land mm-hmm. before becoming a Muslim land or Islamic populated people.
All right. So when we continue, final couple of minutes with Pastor Harut Salimian, and I butcher his name, but boy, do I identify with his heart. And he was just one of the many that I met last night in this private get-together in Washington, D.C. I want to say thanks to my general manager, Eric Crowley, for allowing me to go and for Christian Solidarity International for inviting me. But, friends, there is work to be done, and I will let's talk a little bit about that as we close out today's show. Tomorrow, Bishop Michael Nasri Ali will be with us. He is one of the real forward thinkers in terms of Christian persecution on the planet, and a great honor to sit with him as well. Kevin McCullough, stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Getting engaged is one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life, and with that decision comes a big purchase, the ring. There's a lot to consider when buying an engagement ring, the cut, the quality of the stone, the setting, and, of course, the cost. But you don't have to do this alone. And if it seems confusing, don't worry. I've got a great option for you. Lord's Diamonds, a Christian-owned business that specializes in custom-designed jewelry. Our friend Anu will work with you personally to create your one-of-a-kind engagement ring all within your budget. Anu also has an amazing offer just for Kevin McCullough listeners. Lord's Diamonds is giving away a free gold set of wedding bands with the purchase of an engagement ring. You heard that right. Free gold wedding bands with the purchase of an engagement ring. Getting engaged is a big decision. Lord's Diamonds will make it easier. Set up your appointment with Anu at Lord's Diamonds today. Just call 212-789-8500. That's 212-789-8500. Or go to lordsdiamonds.com. That's lordsdiamonds.com.
Wham. Pipe, scaffold, debris, whatever. It fell. It hit you. You never saw it or heard it coming, but you felt it. The most common construction site accident has left you in pain or worse. If you're suffering, has the person responsible convinced you that you have no case, so live with it? That's not the way it should go. If it was someone else's negligence, don't you deserve compensation for expenses, pain, and suffering? Personal injury attorney Dan Buttafuoco thinks so. With over 30 years dedicated to ethics and justice for the injured, he's won almost $500 million in settlements and verdicts. His firm holds the record for New York's highest paid cash settlement. Readers of LI Press have voted Buttafuoco and Associates best law firm 5 years running. So, do you have a case? Why not call for a free evaluation? 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT. When a construction accident demolishes your life, how about a chance to rebuild? Daniel Buttafuoco and Associates. 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Come and be part of an extraordinary adventure to Israel. The Stand With Israel tour with Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher is happening December the 2nd through the 11th of 2019. Join AM 570 The Mission, WMCA, for a 10-day expedition to the Holy Land that will change your life. You'll get timely insights into Israel's fascinating past, dynamic present, and promising future. Experience the Western Wall, modern Tel Aviv, the Dead Sea, and so much more. All in the comfort and safety of first-class accommodations. December 2nd through the 11th, 2019. Register today. Visit am570themission.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us, and very honored to be able to sit for this last hour with Pastor Harut Salimian, who is the president of the kind of loosely cobbled together Armenian evangelical population in Syria. It's remarkable on a couple of levels. One, there's only a tiny fraction of the number of Christians in Syria that there were before the war. And secondly, the fact that they have such focus on what needs to be done there. So in the final couple of minutes that I had with him last night, and again, if you missed any of this, and there's much that we did not get to put on the air, we're going to put this conversation in the features section of the podcast universe. But as a result of his understanding what was really going on the ground, I asked him, what is his church doing? Why do they feel called to live in a bombed out hellhole like Aleppo, and what are they doing there to hopefully encourage people? This is how he wrapped that up.
So many people, so many churches believe this is our home, and if this is our home, if something wrong goes on in your home, you don't change your home. Home is not a hotel. It's not a place where you are looking for a better service.
Right.
I mean, this is home. So we always wanted to see a reformed Syria, a better Syria. And as I said in the beginning, since the first century, Christians were persecuted in Syria. As long as they have persevered and we reached to this point, it means there is hope for us also for the future. So we are going to stay there also for people that they are in humanitarian need. They are in a vital need of the basics of life. So the church is there to give hope, to spread love, and to stretch helping hand for the needy, for the hungry, for the orphan, and for those who are left without any ceiling, without any home, without any shelter.
Right, right.
The church is there just to say, we are protecting you whenever
you're
you are
alone.
In it. You're not alone.
Is that helping advance the gospel?
Exactly. That is.
People
that
see your help and they wonder why.
People are asking why these people are helping.
Yeah.
Why these people are wiping our tears when nobody else is bothering themselves about doing that. So the church is there just to say we are here for the love of God and for the love of Christ.
Pastor Harut Selimian.
Yes.
I still did it wrong.
Yeah, you did it right.
Pastor, thank you for taking some time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, so that was one exclusive behind-the-scenes conversation. We got more where that came from, but friends, pray for this ministerial conference that's going on at the State Department today and tomorrow. We'll have more details exclusively here at Kevin McCullough Radio. You want a copy of this broadcast, go to the podcast page at iTunes or on SoundCloud.com. Just look for KMC Radio or Kevin McCullough Radio, and we'll see you next time.